In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I read our lessons for this Sunday, all of them spoke to me about one very difficult concept, at least in my life, and that is conflict. I mean, Jeremiah's life was full of conflict as he tried to get out of speaking the word of God, but God just kept calling him back to preach the word that he had been given, and that always brought him into conflict. At one point, he was even thrown into jail because of his prophecy. Or the psalmist who talks about conflict. Or St. Paul, who spent his whole ministry engaging in conflict of one kind and another. Conflict with St. Peter over the role of Gentiles in the church. Conflict with the Christians in Corinth. Conflict with all of the churches that he had planted, trying to help them to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ and to live more fully into this gospel that they had received. And then there's Jesus. We don't like to think of Jesus engaging in conflict, but a close reading of the gospel shows us that his entire 3 years of earthly ministry were full of conflict. He had conflict with the religious authorities of his time, with the Pharisees and Sadducees, with the scribes, with the priests. He engaged in conflict with his disciples who failed to understand the message that he was trying to convey. He had conflict with the Roman authorities. He had conflict, he mediated conflict between his disciples at times. His calling by God led him into conflict, and yet we can learn some key things from Jesus in the ways that we engage in conflict. I believe as we deal with so much conflict in the world today, I mean, we're living in an age of conflict, aren't we? I mean, we have political conflict now that we're in an election year, some pretty tough stuff being said on both sides and being done. There's a new tell-all book, it seems like, coming out every other week. We have protests in all 50 states around the issues of Black Lives Matter and policing. We have conflict over the ways that the government and different institutions are managing the COVID-19 crisis. I mean, I just read last week the top health official in the state of Ohio resigned, partially because of the abuse that she had taken from people upset with the quarantine rules in the state of Ohio. They camped out outside her house and harassed her and her family. People are really up in arms about wearing masks, of all things. A simple act meant to help protect other people, and yet there's a big protest apparently that happened yesterday where people were saying, doggone it, I'm not wearing a mask because this is tyranny somehow. I mean, we're dealing with all kinds of conflict, and it can be very scary for us to know how to engage in it. I spent my early life terribly afraid of conflict. When my parents were arguing or arguing with my brother, I would hide out in my room, and it's taken me my entire adult life to begin to take some steps to learn that conflict does not always mean destruction. Because that's what we think of. We think of, you know, DEFCON 5, all-out nuclear war when there's conflict. And yet, conflict is a whole range of human behavior, and we engage in it every day of our lives. So I think we need to learn how to do it better. And today, I want to draw out of the scriptures and out of the life of Jesus some things that we can do to improve the ways that we engage in healthy conflict. Some years ago, I went to training in mediation skills through the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center, and they taught us some really fantastic things. They taught us that conflict is inevitable, and that managing conflict and engaging in it in a healthy way is really a key to growing personally and in terms of the church, because this was a whole program about church conflict. I mean, we know how that works sometimes. Jesus gives us, they said, such a great model the noonday prayer the other day, we had the famous reading where Jesus outlines how to do it. If you got a problem with somebody, try to settle it between the two of you. If that doesn't work, bring a couple others. And if you need to come to the whole community, you do that. But you don't jump to demonizing. You don't jump to attacking. You try to work things out the best way that you can. What would it look like for us to grow in our ability to manage conflict? What could we learn from Jesus? Because Jesus, when he engaged in conflict, did some things that were really consistent. One, he never compromised on his identity as the Son of Man and Son of God. Sometimes we're tempted to kind of give that away, to keep peace. You know, Neville Chamberlain, before World War II, his famous slogan was, "Peace at any price." And he tried to appease Adolf Hitler by trading in all the principles of Western European civilization. He actually gave Hitler Czechoslovakia in the negotiations to try to keep the peace. And of course, that failed utterly. We can't keep peace by giving up our principles, our self, our identity, our wants, our needs. That doesn't work. So we have to find a different way. And Jesus tells us, you can speak the truth and be yourself and also create space for other people to speak their truth as well. To meet people where they are and to really deeply know and love them for who God has created them to be, even if they're different from you. Jesus got angry when it was appropriate, but it was not a destructive anger. It was anger at injustice, anger at the profaning of the holy place. And he never lied or resorted to violence. So I want to invite us to think a little bit about conflict this week. I want to ask us some difficult questions, and these are for me as much as they are for anyone else. The questions that came to me in these scriptures were, how can I grow in my ability to make my relationship with God the center of my life? Because that's what I hear in the scriptures today, that to be fully and authentically myself means to be fully and authentically myself as God has made me, my best self, my truest self, made in the image of God and nurtured and nourished by my relationship with God through prayer and through worship. How can I grow in my ability to do the spiritual work of wrestling with my own stuff, my inner demons, you know, my ego that always is saying, me, me, me. And those inner messages that are so deeply implanted that I need to excavate, to do the hard work of dealing with. My racism, my sexism, and all the other isms that are in there, buried deep in my psyche. I need to look at that shadow stuff and bring it out into the light of God's presence and to ask for God's healing. How can I grow in my ability, once I've done that, to be clear about my own core values and the principles I live by? Do I even know what they are? Do I know who I am and what I stand for, what I live for, and what I would die for? What are those principles? Because if I know them, I'm much more able to orient my life around them. How can I be clear about what my own needs and wants are? So we have to put the ego in its place, but then we also can't ignore the wants and needs that we have. We have to be honest about those things, because if we deny them, if we say, oh, that's selfish, I just need to live for other people, that only takes you so far. If you neglect your own needs, you will find yourself empty and resentful, and you will actually regress in your ability to manage conflict and to become the person you're created to be. How do I learn to speak my truth in ways that add to the welfare of the world and the well-being of others. In other words, how do I tell my truth in a way that's not weaponized, where I'm not trying to club somebody with it, but simply sharing from my own deepest self who I am and what I believe? How do I do that in a way that lifts up instead of tears down? And connected to that, how do I learn to listen more deeply and with an open heart and mind to the truths of others, even and especially those who are different from me, who have different politics, who have different life experience, who are in a different social class, a different race, a different religion? How do I hear their truth without being threatened by it? Creating that holy space where I can be me and they can be them, and in between we can experience this gift of God's presence. How do I listen like that? And finally, how do I allow myself to grow, to actually change, to be changed by new experiences, new ideas, new people, and most especially changed and transformed by my relationship with God? Or have I gotten stuck along the way? Have I become sort of calcified and unable to bend or to move or to change? How open am I to really being changed and transformed? I think as we get older, sometimes that gets harder. It gets harder to admit that we need to grow and to change. So I have a little exercise for all of us this week. One little exercise to practice a little bit of this through a self-focus exercise. It's pretty simple. So one, I want you to notice how you're speaking to other people this week, particularly in situations of low-level conflict. I'll pick one: loading the dishwasher. People have different ideas about how to load the dishwasher. So when you're having a discussion about that, notice how you're speaking. Try to use I statements as much as you can. Instead of "you're loading the dishwasher wrong," how about "I like to load the dishwasher this way"? Now that's a little manipulative and can be passive aggressive. So also try to notice and share your feelings around that. So it's like, for some reason, I don't know why, this became a big deal to me. I care about loading the dishwasher in this way. This is how I like to do it, and I care about this. It gives the other person a little more information about how important this is to you. And if it's really important to them, then maybe you're going to have some conflict around it. But if it's not, maybe they're like, "Hey, go for it. You want to load the dishwasher? It's all yours." So I statements with a little feeling around it. And then practice both and thinking. Don't say "yes, but." If you find yourself doing that, catch yourself and change it to "yes, and." So someone might say, "Well, that's all fine and good, but this is the right way to load it." Instead, say, "Yes, and I've also found that it's a little more efficient if you put some of these cups over on this side, and you may find a more helpful discussion." So this is very artificial, very simple, but I want you to practice it this week. Of course, you're free not to, but if you choose to, I'd love to know how it goes for you, to simply notice what you're saying to other people, maybe those close to you this week, to use I statements, to be aware of and share some feelings, and then to change the "yes, but" to "yes, and." See what happens. See how God might be inviting you to take a little tiny step in growing in your capacity to manage, accept, and grow from the little conflicts in your life.